This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk, and it was Universal Children's Day yesterday. Some people say it's tomorrow. But anyway, bullying is something that just about everyone's going to experience at some point in their life. Not me. Bullying didn't happen to me, because I think... bullying
is. You weren't the bully.
She was the bully.
Bullying is a part of growing up, as children often pick on others who they perceive as different. And today, with mobile phones and social networks, bullying has taken a new form, cyberbullying. And we've heard about it already and spoken about it as well. But here today to put an end to bullies around the world is Culture Pops Matt Armitage and Jeff Sandu.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
How big is this issue in Malaysia?
Yeah, so I've been going around, looking around for some stats, and there are apparently 25.3 million internet users here in Malaysia, 30 million mobile users in Malaysia. And there's a very good reason why we're bringing up mobile, because we will talk about how big mobile is within, you know, when you talk about cyberbullying. And Malaysians, they spend on average about 9 hours a day on Facebook. And these are generally the younger generation.
Yeah, I mean, that is an astonishing number of hours in the day. It would actually be better to spend those 9 hours watching SpongeBob, I think, from a cyberbullying point of
view. If kids these days grew up, you know, watching SpongeBob would be way better than spending 9 hours on Facebook. Yeah. And there are roughly about 600,000 Facebook accounts compromised daily around the world.
Wow.
So what do
like
we?
Yeah, 10%.
Yes, but what do we mean about compromise? Do we mean that they're hacked into, or does it mean that they're sent spam?
Yeah, so it's either it's been hacked, or it's been spammed, or it's been infected. You know, sometimes you get your friends posting on your timeline. You know, gotta watch this video, which just happened to me recently, and then my friend's like, "Hey, I think you better check your Facebook timeline," and then you see this close friend of yours posted something that it's like, you know, it's some adult video kind of thing, and you go like, "Wow, okay," and then you message him, and then he's like, "Oh, I didn't know anything about it." So compromised in that sense, where the kid viruses and all. And when it comes to kids, according to a survey done by DG, 40% of the children do not know how to protect themselves when they go onto the internet. And then there's 68% of Malaysian children, they actually have access to the internet. And 49% of the kids, they know a friend who has been bullied online. And 20% of the children have been bullied. And the sad thing about it is that 6% of the children actually kept quiet when they get bullied, and 13% are still being bullied today.
Okay, so 6% of children keep quiet when bullied. I'm assuming that 94% will speak up for their friends.
I think you know, you always have to look at these statistics with a touch of salt. Yeah, a couple of grains of salt. Because again, are we saying that, you know, the 100% of people who replied in this survey, did they answer correctly? Did they answer truthfully? I mean, a lot of kids are going to say, yes, of course, I tell my parents when something happens. And we know that the reality is that probably a lot of them don't.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that you know, that you have to segment the bullying as well. There's lots of different types of bullying.
Yes.
There's, you know, kids fall out with each other and they say mean things to each other. Now, does that constitute bullying or is that just part and parcel of a normal kind of
growing up?
Growing up, a normal relationship. I think it's when it's, you know, more systematic, when physical bullying at school is accompanied by this kind of more subversive and intrusive interactions at home, sending you text messages, sending you emails. Because, you know, let's forget as well, you know, we used to talk about, you know, abusive email and that kind of thing, but we're really... For the kids now, we're talking about WhatsApps, we're talking about, you know, WeChat, we're talking about text messages, we're talking about things that probably are going to be coming into their mobiles rather than into their computers.
And some of the kids, like what Matt said, some of the kids probably don't even know that that's part of bullying. Like, you know, being called certain names and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, some of the kids just laugh at it, and they probably don't know that this is a form of bullying. And now it's been taken to, like, what Matt is saying. So it's gone on to WhatsApp, it's gone on to, you know, they use like Line Messenger and Snapchat and all those stuff, and even Facebook Messenger and stuff.
And how do you know if a kid is, you know, is affected or is a bully?
I think
that's something we'll get to in a little bit. But you know, we're talking about Malaysia at the moment, but these figures, you know, it's similar across the developed world.
Yeah.
Kids are online all the time. If you go to sort of European countries, America, a lot more kids have mobiles than probably they do here in Malaysia. And I mean, I know from, you know, I've just come back from the UK, and all my teenage nephews have iPhones. Even the 11-year-old has an iPhone 5, you know. So often kids here, you know, they'll have some kind of basic internet accessing device, but they haven't got the latest top of the line phone at kind of 10 years old.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of kids in those countries have. And these devices are really, really powerful, and they need a lot of supervision from the parents, because you're basically giving them a computer that's giving them access to everything on the internet. And also, you know, we know that people know how to target these devices and hack into these devices. I mean, there was the case that was reported yesterday about the Russian website that's hacking into people's webcams and baby monitors. You know, if we don't educate people to the security aspects of these devices, it's very, very easy, not just for bullies, but for actual criminal groups to start coming in and starting to groom kids and posing as friends and all of this kind of thing as well.
You know, when I was in Norway recently, and
it up again.
No, because in Norway, the Norwegians have they have this concern as well, where, you know, kids as young as the age of 10 are requesting for iPhones, and you know, and it's not just, you know, having daddy's iPhone or mummy's iPhone. They want the new iPhone, the iPhone 6, the iPhone 5S, whenever it launches, right? And when they don't get it, they go to the school and they meet with their friends and all. They don't feel as part of a group anymore, and they get neglected, and they go like, oh, you know, you can't join us because you don't have the new iPhone and all. They have this sort of, you know, mini clans going on, right? Where, you know, that then it becomes bullying as well, you know, because
But that's not something new. I mean, when I was at school, it was trainers. If you didn't have the latest trainers, you weren't the cool kid.
Yeah.
The generation before, it was marbles and tiddlywinks. You know, if you only had granddad's fake eye as a marble, you know, you weren't in with the cool kids who had the latest sparkly ones. You know, that's just part of the tribal nature of kids. But some schools are starting to implement systems where kids have to put the smartphone into a locker when they come in the morning, so they don't allow the phones during lessons because they're disruptive. And also, you have to remember that quite a lot of this cyberbullying actually happens in school during lessons, because it's texting, you know, under the table, and groups of people ganging up on kids. So again, that's a very, very easy, well, not necessarily easy. There's, you know, that's a big problem for schools to look after 1,000 kids' phones for the day. But it is one thing to look at to kind of mitigate maybe some of the harm that these things can do.
Right. So we're discussing. So we'll continue our discussion right after this on cyberbullying. Stay tuned with Matt Armitage from CultureBot.com and Jeff Sandu, TikTok, BFM 89.9.
Blimey, football madness on BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, it's Tech Talk. This is Frida Liu, together with Matt Armitage from CulturePop.com. I have to think about my name for a moment. And Jeff Sandu. Yeah, so we're talking about cyberbullying, because it was Universal Children's Day yesterday. So, and some days, they say it's November 22nd. So how do you know if your kid is affected or is a bully?
Yeah, so there are signs. Well, the first thing is you just got to be really down to the basics. You got to communicate with your kid.
Yeah.
Frida, you've got a...
seeing that the two of you have no idea.
Yeah.
What's a kid?
We're not really experts when it comes to, you know, how to communicate to a child. Yeah. So, Frida,
okay,
how do you know whether your kid is safe online or
not? Online, and then there's the real life. Like, so online, what you do is, if they're of a certain age, you don't give them a phone. You don't give them a laptop. I mean, to me, that's it's when it talks about cyberbullying, they're not old enough to comprehend. You're not doing us. He'll be 12 tomorrow.
Oh,
happy birthday, Drew.
Happy birthday.
He'll be 12 tomorrow. And he does have a tablet and all that, but you monitor and you say, who are you talking to? He's not talking to anyone. He's not on any social media, because I said no. And then he says, why can't I have one? Why should you have one?
Yeah.
Give me a case why you should need one, because all my friends have it not good enough. You see them in school, you can talk to them in school. Yeah. So that's the freedom parenting
it's
style.
It's the old school parenting there.
Negotiation?
But again, that's how it should be. I think, if I've got the name right, Charles Arthur, he's the editor of the tech section of The Guardian. He doesn't let his kids use a laptop anywhere except a supervised room. It has to be in the kitchen. It has to be in the living room when the parents are around. Smartphones are monitored by the parents. Right. Obviously, as well, when it comes to downloading apps, your kid's probably not going to have their own account, so that comes off. That comes off. You know, you're paying the charges, so you have an idea of the kind of things that they're downloading. But also, knowing their passwords. If the information is, you know, if they're on Apple, for example, have everything backed up onto iCloud accounts that you can monitor as the parent.
Yeah. So I was just thinking as well. You know, like when he was younger, and we'll have these conversations. He was being bullied by this girl. He was being bullied by this girl. And
well,
so,
at that age, the girls are bigger, so it's not surprising.
She was bigger than me. And so back then, so he would tell me about it, and they know, and he knows that mom's going to protect him and unleash the wrath of Frida.
Yeah.
But as he gets older, I mean, I do think about it. When you're a teenager, you know, you probably might not be as responsive or whatever. I'm not too sure, but, you know, right now he's still at that age where...
I mean, I think that is actually a big issue. I mean, a lot of teenage kids won't talk to their parents, especially in Asian countries, especially when it relates to things like drink, drugs, sex, which, you know, some teenagers may experiment with, oddly enough. It's important to be open, like you said, even if these things actually offend your own personal morality and ethics, because if your kid is being exploited, you know, the downfalls of the kid not being able to talk to you about these things are much worse than you just making the mental space and allowing them to do these kind of things. I mean, my nephews are all on Facebook, and once in a while I'll see stuff that they post, and I will message them and say, you know,
I'm telling
you. No, I mean, I don't go and tell the parents, because I have a different relationship with them, and they're a bit more open with me than they would be with
their own parents.
With the parents, so I can say to them, look, you don't post this kind of stuff, you don't do this kind of stuff, but you definitely don't post this kind of stuff, because it can come back and haunt you. So I mean, it's about letting them have that support structure. So if you as a parent, if maybe you're too straight-laced and you can't accept certain things, then make sure there's an uncle or aunt who they can actually talk to.
And back to your earlier point as well,
you know,
some things, is it bullying, or is it just a passage of, you know, life, right? Where you need to learn to fight your own battles as well.
There are, but you see, the thing is as well, I mean, you've probably read this year, there have been a number of suicides of US college students and school students, which have been attributed to cyberbullying. There have even been cases of rape victims who've had the photos circulated by the perpetrators in an attempt to get them to withdraw charges. So bullying, it can be, you know, it can be as simple as, oh, you smell. But it can be a lot more subversive. It can be, it can be pictures that are taken in compromising positions. It can be blackmail. I mean, there have been cases as well of, pictures of drunk girls taken at parties. And then they get a message from a boy the next day saying, well, you're going to have to give me various sexual favors, or I'm going to send this to the whole school. So, you know, it is very important that your kids are able to talk to you. And like you say, for you as a parent to either unleash your full wrath on that child or their parents, or to simply go to the police, because there's a line as well between what's bullying and what's actually a criminal offence.
Right.
So somebody who's trying to blackmail you, somebody who's taken photos of you without your permission, those are the kind of things that you can actually start to involve the police with.
And then you also have to make sure that not only your kid is getting bullied, your kid is not the bully as well. That's the whole other part of it, right?
That's the thing. I mean, you know, what do you do if you find out your kid is the bully?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously you can cut off their hands so that they can never use a smart device ever again.
But not my son. He's as gentle as his mother.
Well, then we've got nothing to fear. No, but I mean, it's also about taking responsibility. You hear from parents all the time saying, "Oh yeah, I let my son set up the firewall. I let them do the antivirus. I don't really understand this technology." Mm. And I'm sorry, but that's an excuse, and it's not acceptable. If your kid, I mean, I'm not saying that you have to become, you know, a master programmer and you can put together your own Facebook or you can redesign Google, but you need to be able to know the basics of how this stuff works, because this is where your kids spend their lives. If you don't know what WhatsApp is and your kid's spending 4 hours a day on WhatsApp, then you have potentially a massive problem, because if anything arises, you have no idea of the technology or how it works. If you don't know how it works, you don't know how to handle it, you don't know how to resolve the issue.
Right. So what kind of technology is available these days that, you know, that we should know of and how to monitor them?
Well, that's like smartphones and then there's Facebook. We are very addicted to Facebook. Kids spend a lot of time on using Facebook. Then, like, from that survey from DG as well, 60% of students, they access the internet using desktops, and then 34% using notebooks, and then 29% using smartphones. The thing is, they use desktops lots is because in schools, schools have a lot of desktops, so that's where they interact with the internet a lot more. Hence, like Matt mentioned early on, cyberbullying actually does happen a lot more in the school itself, even though, you know, there is a physical presence, but it's a continuation, you know. So the kids from the other class will, you know, message you, or, you know, will send you a Facebook message, and these kids interact with that using the desktops at their schools. And also, schools need to do something as well. You know, teachers need to get involved as well. They need to put, you know, policies in place. You know, you can't do this during school time, you can't do that during school time. And if, you know, things happen within the school, who's you know, to be responsible for it? You know, the parents know what's happening in the school. All this kind of whole stuff just needs to be addressed. I guess it's just communication at the end of the day, right? Everyone just needs to speak to each other.
And also, I mean, you know, if you do have to get your kid a smartphone, make it clear that you're loaning it to them. They don't own it. You know, like I said, have it backed up to your iCloud account or somewhere else so that you can actually view the details on it. You know, there's a thin line between spying and privacy. So, you know, don't go too deeply into the email messages.
What privacy?
Well, for a 12-year-old, what privacy? For a 16-year-old, bit more complicated. But also, you know, legislation is changing. So follow what's happening in the legislation, because there may be some new legislation that comes in that means you can go to the police, you can have them designated as stalkers, you can have them prosecuted for various other offences. And I'd also say, don't let your kids have a pay-as-you-go phone, which a lot of parents do. Get them a supplementary line on your account.
Right.
You have a lot more control over the line then. You can see the bill, you can see patterns of numbers, you can see patterns of text messages, and that may actually alert you to things that are going on. But, I mean, I think we've said this before, name and shame. Bullies are nearly always cowards. They don't really want to engage. They want to do things under the cover of anonymity. They want to do things. They don't want to be discovered. So embarrass them, hold them to account. And like Frieda said, you know, unleash the full wrath of the parent on them. Because again, you've got to shock that kid out of that pattern of behavior. Because again, you know, kids, one or two of them might be born bad, but most of them aren't born bad. You know, just show them the error of their ways. You know, you're not allowed to punch them, which is a bit of a problem. But, you know, there are other things you can do.
Right, okay. Yeah. So the common types of online bullying being called meme names, I guess.
Mean names and, you know, nasty messages, boycotts and spreading lies. And then there's also the hacked and, you know, sharing of embarrassing photos or videos, sharing personal information as well. And the thing is, kids these days, they actually just have a very general, very common password. And it's like one password for all their accounts. So their Gmail, their Facebook, their, you know, their Messenger, everything just have the same password. So maybe teach your kids, or, you know, how to use different passwords, and make sure you know what the password is as well. If, you know, that's very important for you to be a monitor instead of someone who's just spying on them. Like, you know, don't be a spy on them. Be a monitor and, you know, protect them from, you know, whatever that will happen.
I mean, because ultimately, you know, you can't control your kids online. You can monitor, you can try. So it's not just about trust. It's also about, you know, education. So like we said, parents have to understand these technologies because bullies are not the only predators out there. There are all kinds of scams online that your kids could fall prey to. So it's very important for you as a parent to have that responsibility. And like I said, don't try and shift the blame. You are responsible for your kids. Mark Zuckerberg is not responsible for the safety of your kids on Facebook. And again, it's knowing that difference between, as you said, Frieda, kids pushing the boundaries and experimented and being exploited. So it's just that awareness.
All right. That's for this week's Tech Talk. Very serious. Man, I'm just from culturebot.com together with Jeff Sandhu. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.